This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Eric Weihenmayer, who climbed the highest mountain in the world, Mount Everest, but he's gay. I mean, he's blind. He's blind.
I forgot she says gay twice.
He's gay. I'm sorry. He's gay. He's blind. He's blind. I'm glad this woman wasn't reporting on Bethany Hamilton's. But she's gay. Sorry. She's
gay.
She lost an arm. What's the term for? Oh, God. I can't ask this on air.
An amputee,
because it's not a paraplegic.
No.
Okay. It's just an amputee.
I think so, yeah.
Because amp is Latin for one, as we all know.
Amp is, yeah, Latin for rock on.
Amp is one, para is pair.
Right.
Tri is three, quad is four.
T is too bad.
Mm-hmm, yeah. He's a telegic. It's beyond what you even thought was possible. Wow, welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
We're here to have good Christian fun. That was, of course, one of our favorite news bloopers we've ever had in modern American life. One we think about to this day.
They'll talk about it.
Oh, yeah, we're talking about it right now. We said he's gay, he's blind on this show like 20 times.
That's right.
I think we actually have.
Okay.
A lot.
Yeah.
Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture. I'm going to take Ted's picture down. The music and the movies and the entertainment made for and made by Christians. But we're not here to make fun of you. We're not here to make you go to church. And we're not here to go to church. We're not here to take you away from church either. Maybe that's what it should have been. We're not here to make you go to church, but we're not here to take you away from church.
We're not here to take you to church
or take you
away from church.
Yeah. Or take church away from you.
Perfect.
Or take you to an Eric Church show. Do you know Eric Church?
No.
If you don't know Travis Tritt, you're not going to know Eric Church. Eric Church.
Are you sure it's Tritt?
Yes. Travis Tritt.
I don't think there's an R in there.
And Clint Black. No, I didn't say Trent. I said Tritt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take what? The R out.
Yeah, I did. Travis Tritt. And he does look like this.
Your country king.
He's not my country cling. Cling.
Cling.
So I added an L. I took the R out and I added the L later. But Eric Church. We're here to talk about Soul Surfer.
Woo!
As based on the popular train song from the same year.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they sang about this girl who had an unfortunate run-in with a shark. Differences. And then, you know, succeeded to God's glory, I think. Were you familiar with Bethany Hamilton?
Yes.
Before you saw this movie?
Oh, yes. I remember very well, like, her story hitting the news. I think we're the same age, too. So I think, even when it happened, I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to happen to me. Yeah. And I will similarly rise above and be blonde.
Anything
successful
that happens to someone your age, you do imagine this will ultimately happen to me.
Especially when you're like 13, right?
Yeah.
You're like, what would I do?
Yeah. This is my future trajectory.
I also would rise above.
Yeah. Wait, who else like do you share a birth year with that you think like, oh, this is probably going to happen to me? Emma Stone, aren't
Jennifer
you?
Lopez. No, not Lopez. Lauren.
Sure. Do you have something to tell me?
J-Lo wishes.
Jennifer Lawrence, you're the same age.
I think so.
Same birth age.
Yeah, we're sort of a similar trajectory.
There's no way to tell for sure.
What about you?
Well,
you
she's married and happy. Yeah, she was born in 1990.
Yeah, there you
go. 89, I'm the same birth year as when Harry met Sally.
It's true.
So I kind of will share a trajectory with that where I'm going to be really popular first and then kind of go away.
Yeah.
And then come back and then be popular again.
And then just kind of reference forever.
I think so.
Anyway.
I don't know anyone who shares my birth year.
Do you remember Bethany Hamilton's arm? Misfortune.
Well, I remember her. I don't remember her arm so much because it's been a while since any of us have seen it. Obviously, it's been 20 plus years.
I was closer to her arm.
Mm-hmm. So you remember her arm, but you don't remember her.
Right.
Okay. Gracious. Well, to talk about this movie, we're going to need the help of a very special guest. Once again, making his return onto the podcast for the first time in years. Friends and folks, you may know him from his own podcast, Podcast But Outside. He's a comedian. Give it the hell up for Andrew Michon.
Wow. Hello.
Hello. Hey, welcome back.
Man, it is so great to be here.
And to be back.
Mm-hmm. Honestly. And it's exciting to talk about Bethany and her journey and our journey and the podcast and really just all sorts of different things.
Anything is we could talk about.
And when you guys are talking about church at the beginning,
yeah,
I think the move should be.
Tell me.
This podcast is now your church.
Yeah.
So I think it's more like you're not trying to get them to go away from church, but this is more important now.
If
like this is your new church.
This is the supersedes as a commitment.
I think that's
in
important.
Your life.
Yeah.
In your community, in your culture.
Go to church, don't go to church, whatever. But as long as this podcast is more important to you.
There's a clear hierarchy.
Yeah,
more decisive, that's for sure.
That's
and also,
important.
We do 2 a week. So it is a similar amount of time commitment church is.
And one of them is kind of more fun than the other one.
A little shorter.
Right.
Yeah, one of them's a little shorter, so it's like, I think I could do this.
And
one.
Do you have like a midnight mass kind of episode that comes around a certain time of year?
Oh, we do.
We
did a midnight mass. We called it His Tight Ass, famously, a couple years ago. So,
okay.
Yeah, I think we're on track.
Yeah.
No, this is good.
That's evening
a good
service.
Way to look at it.
I do remember when sort of podcasts where people would speak openly about certain religious things were starting to come on the rise. I've referenced this like a billion times, but I remember hearing sort of insecure teachers or preachers from the pulpit be like, and there's a lot of podcasts out there now, which was just so funny to think of like, and these podcasts are obviously going to lead you astray.
Funny.
They're obviously not safe in a way that's so similar to, it's so funny to ascribe negative import to a medium. It's not even because they weren't naming names and being like, well, these guys suck and she sucks and don't listen.
And is this on a podcast or is this on like from preaching?
This is from the preaching that
funny.
Then they make available
as a podcast. I see. The good kind of podcast.
Yes. Yeah, where it's like
a pure podcast.
Where it just happens to be recorded in podcast fashion.
Sure, sure.
But it's just like, it feels so analogous to burning books or banning, and there's gonna be a lot of books out there because just to speak against another medium, like guys, the radio,
the whole thing,
you're not gonna want to mess with the radio.
It's like, oh, how'd you get into drugs? Oh, a podcast.
Yeah,
it really just led me astray.
It's a gateway.
It's a gateway.
Yeah,
it could be. Gracious.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having me.
Do you remember how long it's been?
Definitely, at least 4 years, and at most maybe 50.
It was three years ago.
But it was before the pandemic, no? Or was it during?
It was right after.
Right after.
We got boosted up and then
we met.
Come on in.
Wow, crazy. Yeah. Right. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Huh. It was really a day to remember.
I had fun. It was a really fun time. I don't remember a lick of what we talked about.
June of 2021.
Same. Yeah.
Oh, come on, Caroline. I bet it's on the tip of your little tongue.
Oh,
right
I got
now.
It.
It's I Smile by Kirk Franklin.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. Music. Song, right?
Yeah.
Song? Music?
Yeah. It was like...
A music artist.
My memory of this song, and it is called I Smile by Kirk Franklin.
I Smile.
My memory of this song is it sounds like something Jimmy Fallon would do with the Roots and like a split screen.
Oh, yeah. Pretty good. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And maybe the music video was like that. But it feels like... Fallon core.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, Fallon core.
Hey, let's get along. It's so fun. We're having a good time. And I mean, Andrew, what's happened in the last 3 years?
Well, since then, you know,
just catch us
Trump,
up.
Trump, you
quick.
Know, Trump stuff. Trump.
Yeah,
hasn't been in the White House. Hasn't been president. Hasn't been that relevant. But Trump, you know,
yeah,
definitely Trump stuff.
So true.
Hanging out.
Yeah, he's
waiting
out there.
In the wings.
To be honest, I mean, I've been surfing quite a lot since then. Speaking of Bethany Hamilton,
oh, yeah.
Did you get into it?
I got into surfing like maybe 7 years ago.
Okay,
but
I really wanted to link it to the podcast.
No, but I mean. It's happened a lot since then. I probably surfed more since then than I did before.
Okay,
so
see,
in a
so,
way,
Caroline,
no, this movie
right?
is
your
perfect.
Church.
Yes, movie is perfect for my culture, mm-hmm. you know, and it's really nice to, just connect with it. And yeah, my life's been okay. Yeah, you know.
What got you into surf culture?
A friend encouraged me to do it, and I grew up skateboarding and snowboarding, so I had that skill set.
Oh, so it's really just from one little. You're just again
just
speaking
jumping.
Of mediums.
Yeah,
you're just going from one
going
to the next.
Different
yeah.
size.
But I just, surfing always seemed like a bit daunting to me. I don't know, the ocean.
Wetter.
It's wetter and it's soaking wet out there. And, but I got into it and it's, I mean, honestly, the most fun thing in life, I think.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Genuinely. Yeah.
What?
Even the part where you have to, get out of your
especially
sweatsuit
that
at the
part.
End of the day when you're like in your on your
no,
by your car.
Putting on a wetsuit and taking off a wetsuit uh-huh. is a little bit annoying, but it's all worth it.
Yeah.
It is all worth it.
Have you surfed, Caroline?
One time. Yeah, I did.
Did you have fun?
Hey, no one's asking for proof. You're good. We believe
I want
you.
I really thought I was going to like take to it like a shark to Bethany. You know, I
Jesus
thought I was going to be in it, you know. I was gonna say like Bethany. I thought something better, but I really thought I was gonna be so good at it.
Yeah,
and it's not something you learn like immediately.
It's quite a high learning curve.
Yeah,
and where also, were you in Hawaii or something?
No, I was here on the Pacific Ocean.
Okay,
which is not the best.
Yeah, a little cold.
And then I was with a group of friends, and they like kind of helped me and teach me. But then I was like, I got it, and I didn't have it, and so then I just got like
got overwhelmed,
washed. And, yeah, and then I was like way too far out. Like I should have been playing on the baby waves.
Yeah,
but I
yeah.
was like trying to hit the big ones.
That ain't right.
And then I was just like not strong enough either.
No.
You have to be very strong.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
So I mean, he's got it.
I got it.
Yeah. So I did not got it, and so then I think I like cried at one point, like threw a little tantrum, like
got
by
even
myself.
Wetter out there.
Got it wetter.
As
yeah,
if it
yeah,
wasn't
yeah.
wet enough.
I like kept it to myself. I didn't make anyone's.
How
problem.
Old were you?
Oh, I was like 28.
Oh, so it's when I've known you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was the only time. Yeah, and then I was just like, it's not for me. Whatever. Yeah. But I would like to try again because it does seem really fun.
It's nice. It hits a lot of things that are important in life, I think.
Such
it's
as?
Like time away from your phone. You're completely out of, you know, the internet, which is nice. And it's sad that you
True.
Have to work that hard to
that
find
is
that.
Your first selling point of surfing is... You're not looking at
Too
your
wet
phone.
For
well,
the
you're
phone.
Just like removed from reality.
Yes.
You know?
That I said, yeah, like literally being in a flow state.
Yeah.
Where
it's
like,
very,
this is not possible
totally.
To be on my phone.
That also just like you're connecting with nature in a big way. The other day I surfed, it was no joke. It was me and six dolphins. That was the only people out there. I mean, well, the dolphins aren't people, but that was it. There was no one else out there. It wasn't a great condition. So it was just me and dolphins. And it was like, the dolphins were, they got very close, like from me to you. And I was,
wow.
it was a little
no
scary because they were like 2 feet away from me.
Well, because they
were
can
curious.
Do stuff too.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. And I, you know, Bethany, my girl, Bethany, you know, I'm kind of thinking about her, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
what she went through.
And no, so there's nature. It's, you know, you're away from your phone. You're connected to like more stuff than yourself. It's an extreme sport. So it's exciting at times.
Mm-hmm,
it's good
sure.
exercise. And if you're with a friend, you just like hang and chat. And
have you made friends this way?
I have one friend that I've
a
made.
Surfer friend.
It's, I mean, I have a lot of friends who surf, but they're all people I know in life. But I have one friend that I made like when I first started like 7 years ago, and we still surf together.
Mm-hmm.
It's
Aww.
Really interesting. He's like part of my life. Like what? I know his wife, and it's very strange. And we just met in the water, and I've never met any other friends since then because it's very much like a kind of keep to yourself territorial kind of thing. Mm-hmm. The sport is not the most friendly because there's like a finite number of waves and everyone's competing for that same resource. And it's the vibes can be quite off.
Sure.
I thought the
vibes are very like cool, you know, like we're all bros.
No, the vibes are pretty
encouraging.
Bad.
Encouraging.
The vibes are pretty bad.
Is that what you said when you served? Hey guys, we're all bros, right?
Yeah.
Is that why you started crying? Because they did not respond.
Crying we're all bros, like, right? No,
I've seen some of the worst human behavior amongst
surfers.
No
way.
Yeah. There was this one time I was out with a friend and I kicked my friend's ass. No, I was out with a friend.
Oh, it was from you.
From me. Yeah, the behavior was from me. No, I was out with a friend and we were in Topanga, which is like probably the like most kind of like territorial beach in Los Angeles. People are like not very friendly in Topanga. It's just like a weird vibe. And I was there with my friend and this father comes with his like 12-year-old son. Maybe even like 10. Actually, he was probably like 9 years old. It was like a small
little guy.
Kid.
Okay.
Little guy. A father comes out with his kid. And immediately, it's just like the vibe was kind of off, right? And he's like telling his kid to like paddle in front of people, which is like you gotta respect the lineup in terms of like who's been waiting longer and stuff like that. And he's just like encouraging his son to like kind of paddle in front of people, and it's like a weird vibe. And then like, you know, this kid's about to cut someone off, and this guy stands up, and then the kid has to pull off the wave, and the dad like goes up to the guy. He's like, "You're snaking my son's wave! You're snaking my son's wave! You fucking asshole!" He's yelling at the guy, screaming, swearing at him, and he's like, "I'm gonna kill you! I'm gonna kill you! You try to kill my son! Like,
I'm gonna kill you!"
He was crazy, and then I'm not exaggerating. He did that to two more people, and it's like. In a way, he was trying to like maybe protect his son from not like hitting someone or something. But it's like you were doing way more emotional damage to your son by like teaching him that it's okay to treat people like this and like embarrassing him. Within 5 minutes, he's getting in like multiple fights. And my friend and I were just left. We're like, this is like such bad energy. And that's just like, I don't know. I feel like you don't see that with other sports. I don't know.
With other sports, there's a little more collaboration.
Or just like, I think it's because it's such a finite, everyone's, you know, trying to catch the same wave or whatever. It's an interesting energy.
Do you think that might be unique to like LA beaches as well? Or maybe Topanga, where it's like there's just smaller areas.
I mean, Los Angeles is like, in the pandemic, 100% ruined surfing. Like,
why?
Just so many people got into it. Anyone who'd ever wanted to surf in their life,
oh, it's like roller skating.
They no longer had a schedule. they could work from home, and they're like, "Well, I might die from COVID, so I want to learn to surf or whatever." You know, everyone had like a bucket list thing, and surfing is so unbelievably popular now. And look, I mean, I've only been surfing like 7 or 8 years. It's not like I've been doing it my whole life.
Sure,
You
saw a before and after.
Yeah, but I definitely saw a very stark before and after. Yeah.
Is it still super crowded like
that? It's more crowded than it ever was before, but it's fine. I mean, it happens. What are you going to do?
Wow.
I was going to say, I have faith that you can make one more friend out there.
Oh, really?
But maybe that's not the vibe. Because I get the solitude of like just hanging out with your dolphin boys as well.
Well, I don't like surfing alone. I like surfing with friends. So it'd be better if I was able to make more friends out there. Yeah.
Huh. Well, then I wish this for you.
I'm going to go right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to get out there.
Do you night surf?
No, I have, but only during like a full moon. And
you're not allowed to. Is that kind of dangerous?
No, if you can see, it's fine.
Oh, okay.
And you're not allowed to surf. You're allowed to do whatever you want. It's a free country for now. But you are not
until
supposed.
Until Joe Biden gets
back. Until Joe Biden gets back in there. Yeah.
Back in there.
Yeah, his plan is to really take away our freedoms the second time around.
This time.
Yeah. You're really not supposed to go in the ocean in Los Angeles 72 hours after it rains because the ocean is
because the ocean gets so nasty.
Filled with sewage from the city.
Oh, no.
It's really pleasant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you done it?
No, I wouldn't. I mean, maybe I've like waited 48 hours and not 72, but like it's gross. Like it's brown out
but
there.
But you're kind of a Howie Mandel germaphobe type.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah, yeah.
So that's kind of your MO.
I do like a whole like, I coat myself in some sort of oil. It's an oil. It's an oil, yeah.
An
it's
oil.
Like petroleum based.
Yeah, that's how you get out of the suit, right?
Yeah.
A little oil spill.
Just some oil.
Have you seen any other good critters out there besides the dolphins?
I've seen dolphins and maybe some sea otters, maybe.
You saw sea otters?
I could be wrong about that.
Why?
I'm trying to think. Oh, I've definitely seen seals. But that's more up in like Northern California.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Santa Cruz and stuff.
Well, you were telling me you saw this one sea otter that only had one arm on a surfboard, and it was really inspirational looking, right?
Yeah, I was
definitely
bringing that up.
Inspired you kind of more than anybody
else. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was like, I can do all things.
Yeah.
And he was sick.
He said that. He was Christian as well.
I relate to what you're saying, just in a more amateur way, but just like for roller skating.
Yeah.
I finally got my own pair of skates during the pandemic. And then back then, you could only do it outside, which was horrifying. The first time I ever did it was in the neighborhood I'm in now, which has a lot of incline decline, because we're pretty close to San Gabriel Hills. Yeah. And so I was flying down the street because it's such a steep, like you don't think about it when you're walking, obviously. You think about it a little bit more when you're jogging. And
these sidewalks are crazy too.
Yeah, they're cuckoo. Even rocked. On the other side of the highway, it'd be like, oh yeah, you could do it. And depending on the park.
Did you get into some scary situations going fast?
Yeah. I mean, I wiped out with control. Okay. Like I wiped out in a way that I meant to.
Smart.
And I still, you know, this is sort of the metaphor for my life. I've never fallen down of my own accord. I've had people bump into me and I'll fall down.
Your whole life, you know that you've never fallen down of your own accord? Wait, what does that mean?
Well, I guess
you're talking about just in skating or like skating. Ever.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant
okay,
life.
Yeah.
In life.
That's what I thought you meant.
No, I phrased that incorrectly.
Kevin no. at 1.5.
Yeah.
Rock solid.
Not gonna get
he falls down. Mom pushed me.
Yeah. It took him 5 years to walk, but when he did, he was confident.
Yeah. That's
he had one hand on the wall. Yeah.
I guess I should say, I should rephrase to be more precise. In my adult life, I don't believe I've fallen down of my own accord. I've been slammed into by other people.
That's a huge accomplishment.
But, thank you. But it also feels like, well, you're not falling down because you're not taking risks. You're not trying to skate backwards. You're not trying to do fun tricks or ollies, as you skaters say. You
or
know?
Close your eyes for a full 20 minutes on a street while cruising real fast. That's the best
I'll do
trick.
It for 20 seconds.
God, it feels so good.
It feels so good it's to awesome. Have your eyes closed for 20 full minutes out there in traffic.
When you get a good skate going on the 101, that's how you feel.
Oh my God.
Infinite. Perks of being a wallflower.
Are you still skating?
Little bit, but now it's more... The last time I went was... The week Taylor was playing SoFi like 9 nights in a row at
Swift?
Moonlight. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Not Taylor Hicks. Oh, Soul
okay.
Patrol
oh,
from
different,
American
different
Idol.
Taylor. Yeah.
Taylor Hicks has sold out SoFi Stadium 8 nights in a row.
By the way, I had a conversation with my dad yesterday. It was so weird. He's someone who never has cared about sports ever. He hates sports and he's not into them. And like for some reason, I brought up the Super Bowl because he lives in the Bay Area, and he was like, yeah. He's like, I was rooting for Kansas City. I was like, why? He's like, because of Taylor Swift.
What?
I was like, what? He's like, yeah, I'm rooting for Taylor's team. I was like, why do you even know who
Taylor
Swift
Taylor's
is?
Team.
And I was like, what do you think about, why do you have an opinion about Taylor Swift? And he was like, I mean, my dad hasn't listened to a new album since The Doors. Like, he's like not a contemporary guy.
He's
all.
Not doing Discover Weekly all the time on Spotify.
And the
he's,
reason why is because he goes, Taylor Swift is going to be very important for this election because she's like anti-Trump. And he's like, she's probably gonna,
he's
like,
right.
He's like, she's going to allow Joe Biden to win. Not
no
that my dad's
way.
Like a super Joe Biden supporter. He's, you know, more of a Bernie bro. But
so he's kind of like on the conspiracy, but in a positive way.
It was
way.
Very interesting. Yeah. No. And then he goes, I'm really worried about Taylor. I'm like, why?
Oh,
he goes, I think they're going to try to kill her.
She's on the list.
He said.
Oh my God. They're going to try to kill her.
Okay, now we're getting deeper into the positive conspiracy, I guess, and that she's not a psyop or whatever.
Right.
No.
But
she's
because
just,
of
you
her,
know, stumping.
Her political importance is...
I mean, she is the most famous person in the world right now, I guess, you know?
Is she more famous than the president?
Lionel.
More influential,
definitely.
Probably. I mean, I don't think more
so
people...
So many more people are more famous than the president.
Well, I don't think more people would recognize who she is, but I do think she has like more power in a weird way, or more influence or something.
Yeah.
I wonder.
I don't know.
I always wonder if she like had a mental break and she was like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's ball and do another insurrection. She could probably...
She could, yeah.
Just in the sense of like, if there's already an existent fan base who you're not necessarily encouraging to do this stuff, but if you get... a 7.2 instead of a 10 on Pitchfork. The lady who reviewed the album will have her address docs and her kids' photos released.
And Andrew's dad will be there on the front lawn with a brick.
No, you need to protect
her. To go.
She's the biggest ass.
It was so funny to me that he had an opinion about her.
That's so funny. Yeah. And he was dead serious.
He was
like,
dead.
I thought
he was not kidding at all.
Okay.
He's like, I'm really worried about her. And I was like, damn, that is crazy.
It's not just like, I love 1989. What can I say? It's like, we need her.
I don't even think it's about the music.
I just found out about her.
Right.
I love the Chiefs and I'm worried.
Yeah,
for her
exactly.
Life.
Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah.
Do you think she can sway a coalition? Like, she could make a difference in a swing state?
I do.
Really?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if I...
I don't know. It seems like people are more into her than I've seen anyone into anyone my entire life. Like, in terms of, like, the diehard people are more into her than, like, any other fan base.
It's probably... We're probably not old enough to understand what it was like in the 80s for this and the early 90s, but it was probably like Michael Jackson fans. Yeah.
Or like Beatlemania in the 60s.
But on a long term, because Beatles were only together
for Vote for Joe.
Who's that?
Pool.
Oh, you need to get out to the pools. It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working at the polls. Hi, I'm Paul McCartney. Hey,
what celebrities have been like endorsing Joe so far? I can't think of many. I mean, Gaga was at the inauguration, but that was already a done deal.
But she was starting her investigation.
She was looking
for clues.
That's right.
Lady Gaga said she went to the Capitol and was looking for clues of like why the insurrection happened.
Really?
Yeah.
Which looking is awesome. For clues.
She's looking for clues.
Kid detective, Lady Gaga.
Wow.
Who stumped for Joe? I don't know. I mean, I can tell you people who've stumped for Obama or even Hillary.
Yeah, I just feel like a real famously big Joe supporter, especially Taylor. That would be memorable.
I mean, I know she's like very anti, Republican, but I don't know if she's specifically into Joe Biden.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone's specifically
into Joe Biden. Yeah.
I know that his official campaign song for 2020, which kind of says it all, egg on my face, was The Rising by Bruce Springsteen, which is a song that came out 18 years before that election.
Right.
By a 70-year-old man. He's like, The Rising.
This is hitting the zone.
And it was already, I think it was already John Kerry's election song in 2004.
Very real? Funny.
Yeah. For real, for real. Because he would play it at rallies and stuff. Well,
you were telling a story though. I interrupted to talk about my dad. You were talking about roller skating.
It was worth interrupting.
Okay.
And while we're at it, I'll interrupt myself to say my father's pop star take that was similarly, wow, you've thought about this.
Yeah.
I've told you this, but a couple of years ago, I don't remember what we were talking. We might've been talking about Super Bowl stuff. Actually.
Okay. Yeah.
But kind of apropos of nothing. And we weren't talking about politics or anything like that. My dad said, I just feel like Lady Gaga's a really good person.
That's right.
Which is interesting because I feel like her brand isn't even that.
No.
Her brand isn't, I'm a philanthropist and I feed the poor.
A do-gooder.
She's more like, hospice worker to the stars.
Art freak.
In terms of Tony, Eliza, and all these other oldies.
I guess that's probably why your dad thought she was
good.
She'd take care of me.
He connected with that.
Looking out for my world.
Maybe that's why she likes Joe.
Because
he's so old.
Yeah.
She does like
the
elders.
She's got hearts in her eyes of like, I can help him out on stage and let him not embarrass himself.
To hold his arm onto stage.
But I was just thinking about from my father of like, what did she say or do?
Right.
Where my dad really locked into like, that's a real one.
I'm dying to ask my dad. What do you think of Taylor?
Find
what
out.
Do you think of Gaga?
You'd be surprised.
I may be.
Everyone, have a conversation with your father about Taylor Swift. You would be surprised.
It's really important. And we've encouraged our listeners about this.
We
before.
Need people to talk to their dads about
open the conversation.
We ask them, hey, what did you think of Joanne era? What did you think of Witness, Katy Perry's album that Caroline's defending to the death?
I need to circle back to it.
Oh, you haven't listened to it yet. You're looking for the clues, like Lady Gaga.
Yeah, we need to re-examine it. Is your dad a boomer aged, Andrew?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
No, my dad's 30.
Okay.
Holy shit.
Yeah,
damn.
My dad's 30, yeah.
Oh my God.
I think he's 70 or something.
Okay, yeah.
What will our fathers say about Lana Del Rey?
He's punching through.
Yeah.
It's honestly just huge that Taylor like has permeated boomer dad brains.
I was just so surprised.
Like,
yeah.
Whoa. Okay.
Well, it's like Snoopy or something at this point, right?
But what's interesting, I think, about like
I'm not wrong. Like it's as omnipresent as
I also think like
are you calling her it?
I mean the Taylor phenomenon, not it.
Like Snoopy.
I'm saying Taylor Mania. Oh,
I also think that generation are just living in an entirely different like news ecosystem based around like TV.
For sure.
And I think Taylor is probably talked about on TV like a lot because it's like a ratings thing or something.
Yeah, of course.
So I think they're just like, he sees her name on TV. I don't know. And I think it's just, I don't know, blends together.
I would just feel like, yeah, normally they would just kind of black out when like a pop star is on that. They're just like, no.
Like probably don't have opinions about Duffy getting kidnapped a few years ago or whatever terrible thing happened to her. Maybe Lana would penetrate too because she's a little Oklahoma.
Kind of a Woodstock.
I date cops. She's kind
of a... She date cops?
She did. And she was kind of a Woodstock figure for that reason. Woodstock was very apologetic about the Blue Lives Matter stuff, unfortunately.
Woodstock love cops.
But the last time I skated was Taylor Swift night at Moonlight Rollerway.
Oh, yeah.
Back in August. It was a long time ago.
No falling.
Mm. Actually. No, I got slammed into that night.
Pushed.
Yeah. Yeah. I got
aggressively or just
pushed.
Accidentally?
It was accidental. And she was like, sorry. I'm like, it's okay. And it was fine. But
then
that
you
night
fell
was,
in love.
And then, can you imagine?
My friend, by the way, had like a 2 or 3 year relationship with a woman who hit his car and they exchanged information. And it didn't work out long term, but they did it for like 2 or 3 years. No, like they lived
still
together.
A
and
win.
Stuff. It was a win. It was a win for that idea of a meet cute.
At that
you know?
Time.
You yeah. dream of that.
You like, dream of that.
Yeah.
Of either.
I'm hitting cars every day and they are dogs driving them. I'm sorry.
You got to stop hitting Cybertrucks only, though. I don't know why you think you're going to find.
It's mostly men who are wearing Bitcoin shirts.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I wanted
Apple Vision
a hot
on.
Girl.
This is a real babe-mobile, right? Yeah.
Andrew's out Mad Maxing it on the 405 looking for his sweetie.
I still haven't seen a Cybertruck. Have you guys?
Yes, I've seen like
because Caroline's husband drove one home.
Oh,
well, yeah,
honey, I have a
own one.
Yeah. No, but I'm so like upset that I haven't seen one yet. Have you?
I have not.
It's sad.
But I'm praying for the day that you
I'm
see
surprised.
Your special Cybertruck out there.
Because they're great. They look insane, right?
They look absolutely insane.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, I saw one on the freeway in downtown.
Oh, I can't wait. I gotta go there.
I was like, wow, you're really driving this.
To the extent that my friend texted me the other day, we live in the same neighborhood, and he's like, hey, there's a Cybertruck in Atwater right now if you want to go check it out. And I hadn't
like
even talked to him about
truck
it. We never even discussed it. He just knew that I would want to see it. But I was like not in the neighborhood. So
it's like a celeb sighting.
It was, yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It's shocking.
Would you want to meet someone while surfing? Your kind of third location, what do they call it? Third place?
Oh,
third
a woman?
Location?
No.
A woman, yeah.
No, I think...
Whatever.
I think not, no. I think women surfers probably face an annoying amount of men hitting on them.
Of hitting on them?
I mean, I don't want to hit on women in public, period. I just,
but they've never had you hit on
them.
No, but it's just like, I'm not trying to, you know, and I do see cute girls in the water, but I'm not trying
to let them have fun.
Yeah, I'm not trying to, you know, alter this environment for you in a way that's negative.
See, this is what's hard about 2024, Caroline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do we do?
And women want to, and some women Thanks. Want that, you know?
Yeah.
But it's, I don't want to be the person that's making someone feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Helen Hunt started a movie called What Women Want about this very thing.
Whoa.
You could always start with like, you know, did you see that dolphin earlier?
But I'm, yeah.
Or have you heard of Bethany Hamilton?
Have you heard of Bethany Hamilton?
You have a huge new talking point with every female surfer out there.
Because hey, I would like to take you arm in arm.
Yeah. Hey, I noticed you have two arms. Can I tell you a story about someone not so fortunate?
Bet you wouldn't be as good as surfing if you had just one.
Yeah.
Oh, love and respect to Bethany and her family. And anyone who suffered a similar fate.
Mm.
But that's the thing. You see people on the water. It's like, that's great. I want to protect this for you.
Yeah, I'm not trying. Yeah,
I want this to be a good time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you log on and you read thousands of comments of women surfers saying, why won't no one approach
me
on the
exactly.
water?
Yeah.
Why won't someone swim out to me? Yeah. Hang 10 with me.
Too nice.
My friend recently, he went on a few dates with someone he met in the water.
See?
A fellow surfer, yeah.
Another friend of mine, she went out with a guy for like 6 months.
Wow.
With
surfing?
Yeah, from surfing specifically.
Cool. Yeah. Mm.
Because it's like you have something in common already.
I know. It's such a, I mean, look, if it happens organically, sure, but it's just, I don't know. I never want to be the person to make someone feel uncomfortable in that way.
You'd rather
Wait, have
swipe
you tried crashing your board into a female surfer?
Oh, that I've done many times. Yeah.
He's waiting to see a Cybertruck in the water.
Yeah.
Crash his surfboard into
it. Yeah. Now that I've definitely
strategy.
Done.
Yeah, that could work.
I do that.
Wow.
Really like bang her up. And mm-hmm. then you have to take her to the hospital. And that's at least like 3 hours.
That's
together.
A date right there. Yeah, that could counts be as a date. That's the first one. Date.
Oh, yeah. That could be a trauma bond that like leads into a kind of weird marriage. Yeah. Yeah. Neither of you are sure. Like, are we nurse patient or are we love?
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm just going to put my name down as your emergency contact if that's okay.
Yeah. Like, I don't mean to cross the boundary, but this feels but right. Here.
I'll just say your name's Sarah Michon. And then that way it's like they don't question it.
Yeah. That would be sick.
Thank you.
Oh boy. Well, we're gonna crack this, but first let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. Mm. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
And you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
can kind of propel me into
to feel
like
feel as incredible as to, you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that, and then
good
going
brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/goodchristianfun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/goodchristianfun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
The
I agree.
The first month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/goodchristianfun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time to, Caroline, dive into the topic. Do you think that's what Bethany heard right before? Here's the thing. I know. Now it feels mean. You looked at me in a way that's like, Kevin, that's
no,
mean.
No, I didn't. No, I thought it was good. I was making my own jokes. I'm not above it.
So this movie came out 2011.
Yeah.
Dennis Quaid, Anna Sophia Robb.
Can I just say one thing about the movie that I loved? I thought it was so awesome to have a movie that's set in Hawaii and every single person is white. That was cool. Like no
that
native
was an
Hawaiians.
Incredible
that
feat.
Was pretty cool. That
there
was,
were a couple,
hard.
But they were
they
only
were in
at
a couple
night,
shots,
and they were scary.
I think it would be difficult to accomplish that in that land.
It was a feat.
It was a feat to get every native Hawaiian out of every single shot.
There were two Hawaiians. One was her bully.
Yes.
And one was the shark's bully.
Yeah. No, but it was pretty insane to have like, the whitest movie possible set in Hawaii.
It was, yeah.
One of
it
them
was a resort white lotus,
yeah, it was
like
crazy
neighborhood. We have to talk
one
about
of them
that,
had
yeah.
the line of the movie, which for me was when they take, you know, they kill the shark and then Dennis Quaid lifts the surfboard
yes.
up to the shark's mouth.
Yes.
I call this the Cinderella moment of the movie.
And there's that gentleman who says,
"That's a perfect fit, bro."
That's a perfect fit, bro.
That is pretty, yeah. It was really funny the way they went to revenge in that moment. They were like, wanted revenge on the shark. It was like a 5-minute chunk of the movie where the point of the movie was revenge on the shark. It was like a very small
yeah,
subplot.
You see like dark Dennis Quaid.
Yeah, you get the call. He's
like,
what?
Oh, here we go.
It could have gone a different way.
Is it night? Yeah, I thought there was going to be a fight.
Wait, Andrew, can I say something about what you're wearing?
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, go ahead.
"That's a perfect fit, bro."
My favorite line in the movie is when they're trying on bikinis and she says, "One wipeout in that thing and you're going to be showing a lot more than your sick rides."
Yeah.
Because it was too small of a bikini.
Because they meant
sick rides.
Their bare yeah, bodies, yeah. Their naked bodies. So the movie feels like this happened to her when she was like 17 or 18 years old. She was a 13-year-old girl yeah. when this happened.
She was little.
So I was shocked to like look stuff up later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because she does the whole circuit and obviously her recovery was extraordinarily quick from having a shark attack her, has her arm bitten off, and then she's back on the water within a month, basically. But she's a child when mm-hmm. you see her in the interview. So you do get a like, are you okay? You know, anything, anytime it's like kid actors for one, but then especially like not media trained people where you're just kind of foisting them onto the national stage because God kind of. Mm-hmm.
Did you watch some interviews with Bethany when she was like a 13 and stuff?
I sure did. There's one I want to play just like a quick snippet of. This is her in 2004. Or it might have been 2005, on Oprah.
Wow.
So this is her being, you know, teeny tiny girl.
"So this time I was saying inside the water."
Oops, I'm playing it at way too fast of speed.
No, this is how 13-year-olds
she's
talk.
She's really teeny.
Yeah, she's scared.
She's
that's why she's
good. Tall.
So she's talking about the day of the attack.
"And this time I was like holding the board. I was just like relaxing. And then all of a sudden the shark just came up and like, it was only like 2-3 seconds at the most, and it just kind of jerked me back and forth, and then it just let go and went underwater. And right at that moment, the first thing I saw was red water, and then I just started paddling in, and I was like, I got attacked by a shark, like, about that loud, and then,
About that loud?
Yeah.
Not like, I got attacked by a shark! No. I got attacked by a
shark. Oprah.
I was just looking
she
for
did
that
a good
moment.
Job, yeah.
Yeah.
Bethany did a good job.
Yeah, she's doing great. She's doing great out there, kiddo. So then they wanted to make a movie of it immediately, but then they couldn't quite find the funding for it and the right fit. But they were like, once like it was a kind of positive narrative, obviously, which was like pretty clear of like, oh, look at her, you know,
yeah,
chilling out, maxing, relaxing out on the waves. So Then they go into book mode. We're writing a book. We're going on tour. We're doing speaking gigs. We're on Oprah. We got to make this into a movie. And then it takes like, whatever, 6 or 7 years after the actual fact for the movie to get made. And it's a Sean McNamara joint, Caroline, who did do Miracle Season, the other Helen Hunt inspirational movie.
You must be tight with Helen.
Yeah.
She doesn't do a lot of acting.
Right.
She's a little choosy now.
Get her out there
in ways that are
inspirational films.
Yeah, get her in Twisters or something.
Girls Getting Hurt.
Get her in Fargo Season 6. Oh, whatever. God. Wouldn't that be nice?
Helen Hunt and Twister.
Did you love Helen Hunt growing up as a kid?
Yes, because of Twister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved her because of As Good As It Gets, the Jack Nicholson movie.
Yeah, baby.
In which they're love interests, even though they're like 30 years apart from each other.
You're painting the scenario, and it's like kind of making me see now that Bethany's parents might have been like kind of stage parents, no?
Mm.
And like, I mean, there's the whole storyline in the movie about like her dad pushing that the mm-hmm. arm on her, like hardcore.
Mm.
He's like, she just has to do a short interview and then she'll get the arm mm-hmm. that she didn't mm-hmm. ask for, I mean, or whatever.
Her parents are Dennis Quaid and Helen Hunt. They are actors. So I'm not surprised
that
they would push her into that
experience. That's their world.
It's their thing.
I mean, she's also like a cute white girl with blonde hair,
you know?
So like there's appeal there, but I feel like how much exposure she got.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like they were working on it a little
bit. Yeah,
you know, or they were
the
like
case.
Ready to leap on this. They seem also like they were already extremely wealthy.
Mm.
Living in Hawaii, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, they weren't working.
They
from what
weren't
I
working
saw.
In the movie. Yeah, they weren't working.
They got 3 kids on their own like private beach in Hawaii.
He's having elective knee surgery whenever he wants.
Yeah, he's getting a knee lift.
That says so much.
An elective knee surgery.
Knee lift, is what you said?
He's like, yeah, make it firmer looking. That was unnecessary. Craig T. Nelson, who has my favorite, wait, what's going on face whenever he enters into a scene. He's always like, oh no, am I supposed to be doing something here?
Also, one thought about the knee surgery is the doctor's about to cut into his knee, and he's fully awake, fully lucid, sitting on the table.
By the
wide
way.
Awake.
Wide awake.
And then they're like, never mind. Get this guy out of here. And he's like, he's numb and everything. They're like, get him out.
It's so awesome.
But no one's fully awake just looking at their knee for knee surgery.
Got a little magnifying glass.
That's so weird.
So the movie's basically... She's, you know, she loves surfing. She gets attacked by this shark. Kevin Sorbo, friend of the family, Kevin Sorbo, helps her out. She loses a shit ton of blood. And then she learns how to live with it. And then comes in second, third place. Sorry.
The most
Bethany.
Improved.
Sure.
Most improved.
But, you know, that's it. Like, it's not what it doesn't show, which is so interesting. And you thought they might explore a little bit with Carrie Underwood as the youth pastor. One of her 3 fictional roles that she's ever played in a movie or TV show. Can y'all name the other 2? Guess not.
No.
It's How I Met Your Mother. She had like a little bit part in one of those episodes. And then she, of course, played Maria in Sound of Music Live on NBC in 2013 or whenever that was. But Carrie didn't do so much acting. And you do wonder why after a movie like this where she has little soliloquies like...
Can anyone tell me what he or she thinks this is?
Easy. It's a dodgeball.
No.
Or Mars?
Mm-mm.
Bob and a lava lamp?
Very creative, but no. It's a fly's eye.
Weird.
How about
weird.
This one?
A brain.
Aren't brains supposed to be pink?
A dead, rotting brain?
That is gross.
It's actually something.
That
penis.
Is a walnut. So you see how hard it can be to make sense of things when you're looking at them really close? The same thing's true in life. So if you guys are dealing with anything that's just too hard to handle or doesn't seem to make much sense, get a new perspective.
Mm.
In those cargo pants.
Yeah.
So true.
I thought she was pretty good, honestly.
Yeah.
And she was like on par with the rest of the actors in this movie. You thought she was atrocious.
I think Dennis and Helen come and they're professionals and
everyone
they show
else.
Up.
Yeah.
And everyone else. I think Carrie's like, I, you know.
I say potential with Carrie.
I wish potential.
She had more. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is the lead woman who played Bethany, has she been in anything
Anna
else?
Anna Sophia Robb, sure. Yeah, she's okay. been, I believe her big claim was she
Bridget
played.
Terabithia.
She was in Bridge of Terabithia. She was Violet in the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory with Johnny Depp, okay. America's Wonka.
Yes. Okay. And America's most Wonka.
And she played young Carrie.
Yes.
In the Carrie Bradshaw. Yeah.
Oh,
spinoff.
Okay.
The Carrie Diaries on CW. Yeah.
I feel like Anna Sophia Robb was like really big right after The Bridge to Terabithia. Mm-hmm. Well, Bethany picked her because of that movie. She was like, I want her to play me. And picked by Bethany.
We got to get a bridge going from that movie to this one. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I like her.
I think the movie would have been really interesting if the entire movie was right before the shark attack and then the last scene was the shark attack.
and then it's just postscript. Yeah. Like Bethany was fine. Yeah. She came in fifth
it's
place.
It's like a movie about a teenage girl.
That would be unbelievable. Like imagine that. Yeah. Like you hear about this story for 7 years. Yeah. And they're like, they made a movie about it. It would essentially be the same structure as Marie Antoinette where you never see her get executed at the guillotine.
Oh, funny.
Yeah, it's just like a bunch of build up to
everything else.
That would be mind blowing. I would respect that movie so much. And it's just dread before. That would be unbelievable. Roger Ebert reviewed this movie. I don't know if you ever read Roger Ebert when he was alive.
I did when I was I remember.
I was so
guy.
For whatever reason.
You loved him.
I loved him. I had the movie guide from him.
He was
him.
Your guy.
I would watch the show
in
syndicated television and I'd be like, he made some good points. So for this one in 2011, which at this point I believe he's in cancer treatment.
Yeah.
And he's had a lot of surgeries. And he talks about in this review of like, I know amputees. Whoa. Their lives seem much more difficult than what is displayed in this movie. And he's a little sassy about it. And one of the things he says is, I applaud her faith and spirit. I give her full credit for her determination. I realize she is a great athlete, but I feel something is missing. There had to be dark nights of the soul, times of grief and rage, temptation of nihilism, the lure of despair. Can a 13-year-old girl lose an arm and keep right on smiling? The flaw in the storytelling is that it doesn't make Bethany easy to identify with. She's almost eerie in her optimism. Mm. Her religious faith is so unshaken, it feels taken for granted. The film feels more like an inspirational parable than a harrowing story of personal tragedy. Where it does feel very, I do connect with that, of like it's so tidy. Because she's sad, she does cry to Carrie Underwood in
one
scene where she's like, how could this be God's plan? Mm. And Carrie's like, I don't know, but it is. And that's pretty much it. Right.
She has like a little drama when they're making sandwiches.
Yeah. Well, there's so many. Okay, here's
that
the thing.
So funny.
And I'm obviously not making fun of anyone disabled, but there were so many shots of her like in the grocery store having a hard time getting her groceries in. And the thing that was funny to me was the cutaways of people looking disgusted by her.
They
were horrified.
They were looking at her like she was like a naked man screaming through the aisles.
I also like the idea of her family being like, who should we get to grocery shop for us and cook us breakfast? Maybe the daughter who just lost her arm. Like, she's going to do the house chores now. That was so funny to me.
When they go to pray and her brother holds out his
hand. That was the best moment in the movie.
I was like, oh my God. And he's like,
they do a prayer circle and she doesn't have one. That was the funniest moment in the movie for me. That was insane.
Dying.
Unreal.
I don't think it was gonna show that.
Unreal.
I wonder if that really happened. I wonder if she, like, contributed that, because that was such an insane moment.
Here was the funny thing. If I watched, like, they had some EP Kalo making up thing, and the director, Mr. McNamara himself, said the family was on set every single day of shooting.
Wow.
Which is like,
what?
Not normal.
You're not supposed to do
that. You're not supposed to do that.
Why?
Well, like, what? Yeah. And of course, one of the greatest directors of all time, Bradley Cooper, he said the Bernstein children were not allowed on set of Maestro.
Right.
Because there's like, because they'd be like, that Snoopy wasn't actually there. And he talked about, like, and of course, it's like very positive in the span of it. And he said, and sometimes Bethany would come into the scenes and correct what we were doing. And I remember one time we were shooting a church scene and she said to people attending the church in the worship service, like, y'all look like you're asleep. Wake up. It's a fun church service. And he's like, only she could get away with that. So it's so funny to think about what must be some of the mania of, like, imagine someone made a movie about you and your family and you're on set every single day and you're going like, no, it wasn't like that.
That's so interesting.
No.
Weird.
Especially for something sensitive like this, I guess.
It would explain some of the like perfection of their life and the story too. And like, yeah, and her almost never like faltering at one point. Well, and I think this is true, but even during the shark attack, apparently what was extremely remarkable about it was that she was completely composed the entire time.
I know.
She told the director, like, they filmed it, and she was like, you need to tone it down. Like, everyone was way calmer when it happened than what you guys did.
But it's also like, why is that a virtue? Like, what's good about
that?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. You know what I mean? I don't know.
It's about the calmness?
Very, like,
yeah,
Christian,
like, who cares?
Me, you know,
like,
well, like,
it's a hard
she
moment.
She trusted God so much in that moment, or she's
I guess
like,
it is a Christian thing,
but superhuman
it's just like, why?
Or something.
I actually feel different about that, because I do believe, like, in something where it's, like, that insane. Like, if my leg fell off, you might be like, okay, well, here's what we're going to
do. Yeah, you do just kind of go really practical.
Like, I get that. As far as, like, the sanitized versions of every other part of their lives, I feel like that's a little more
It was insane.
Specious.
Have you ever seen two nicer older brothers in your entire life? I haven't.
You know they were the ones ripping the arm off of Barbie, not her. Like, it's you. Look, it's you. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
And also the trope of the father who cares so much about sports and maybe pushes a little too hard. And at one point they say, he quotes, this is sort of, Andrew, the verse for athletes. This is the verse that, like, if you went to like a Christian athlete organization, or if you were like a young baseball player in high school who was also really involved in your youth group, you would know the verse, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He first says that in the hospital to her, which is like the context of that biblically, not that it matters, but it's not because the Apostle Paul went to a volleyball game and he saw that they were, you know, struggling. And then he said that to me.
He said, even when you're on the bench, you know, you need to keep giving it your all.
Get up, get out of the bullpen, Apostle Paul said. But it's just kind of become co-opted, right or not, to be like, this is about all sports. And that kind of becomes the theme of the movie is like, well, you can do it, Bethany, because you can do all things. And they repeat it over and over again. And what's interesting about the movie is that there was a cut of it in which some of the Christian stuff, which there's not a huge amount of, but some of the Christian stuff was taken out and cut down. At one point, even they described this in one cut of the movie that I think may have been released theatrically, and then they fixed it. They picked up a Bible, but they digitally replaced the Bible on like the front of it, the cover of it, for it to just be a nondescript book.
Huh.
And took out some of the face stuff, took out Carrie Underwood quoting Jeremiah 11, like, I know the plans I have for you are really great and cool or whatever the verse is, and took out some of that more explicit face stuff.
Yeah.
Because obviously the Hamilton family was like, no,
we want it. Yeah.
That's so, what I'm saying. I feel like the Hamilton family was like Hollywood ready. They were like, let's go. We have a story. We got a message. Let's push it. Let's get my little blonde Ariana Grande out there. She was going to the ESPYs and stuff. Like, she's going to all these random award shows.
It was too much.
It was weird.
And now she's got, you know, she's doing the influencer thing on Instagram.
She did the Amazing Race.
She's,
you know what her main thing is now?
What? Did you look it up?
I mean, I knew about this before you even asked me to do this podcast. Her basically main thing now is like really hardcore anti-trans women in surfing.
Is that true?
Are you serious?
To a degree that's like problematic, like really problematic. Like, it's not even about...
Not
like,
the non-problematic amount anti-trans.
I mean, it's not even like about...
It's not
like,
accidental.
I mean, like, she left Rip Curl because Rip Curl posted a photo of a trans woman surfer. Not even about competition. It's not even about like, you know... Because her whole thing is like, you know, male bodies competing against female bodies, whatever. Like, it's not even about that. Just, she left Rip Curl, which is a big part of this movie is Rip Curl.
Yeah.
She left Rip Curl after being with them for 20 years because they posted a photo on their Instagram in November of last year of a trans surfer.
Wow.
Yeah,
what a piece
of shit. She's really hardcore anti-trans. It's not the best. Not the best look.
Oh,
you look
gross.
It up? Yeah.
Oh, this is
it
not
sucks.
Good.
I know.
Bethany, yep, this year she said Bethany Hamilton said she'll boycott Surf League, World Surf League events because policies allowing trans women to compete. Yeah, well,
and she's
how do you feel about
beef liver supplement?
Amputee people compete. What if they ban that, Bethany?
Yeah. I just like,
gross.
It's just a bummer. It's a bummer.
Faith family overcome.
Yeah, she's very, Yeah.
Oh, she had another documentary called Unstoppable.
Well, maybe that one's good.
Jeez.
But yeah, she's. I didn't know about any of that stuff.
Yeah, I've read some surf blogs and I saw it as it was happening and stuff. Yeah.
I was gonna say like, oh, how'd you know about that?
Like, yeah, I just like came across my Google News feed or something.
Because
yeah.
I thought I was being a little detective and doing the thing when I never know quite what someone's beliefs are. What I do, and this goes for like non-celebrities as well. What I do is I go to their Instagram. And I go to following. Instead of going one by one, what you do is just look for the blue checks.
Funny.
Who's verified and which celebrities they're following.
That's funny.
And you can usually tell if it's a journalist where it's like, well, it's probably they're following Candace Owens because it's, you know, relevant to whatever they're covering versus like, this person's just following Candace Owens for real.
Yeah, that's funny.
So I did that with her. And there was a bunch of like, obviously like Christian right-wing stuff. Did not know that this was like a...
Yes, it's like her main thing right now. It's like,
ew.
Yeah. It's not the best. Hmm. Yeah, not the best.
Yeah, it would be a shame for someone who, God, who wanted to compete no matter the body they have to not be allowed to do so. That would be so very sad.
That would be deeply ironic.
It's not the best.
How interesting. Well,
but guys, she went to Thailand.
That was cool.
She did go to Thailand. So this we should just talk about and then we can wrap it up. But she goes to Thailand because Carrie Underwood is like really bummed that she doesn't want to go on mission trip. She wants to surf instead. And then,
By the way, I think that should be like the moral of the story is like, if you don't go on a mission trip to Mexico, your arm will get bitten off by a shark.
I think it's a
go on that mission trip. Okay,
if you said you would. You said you would. You're going to Mexico.
Nothing can get in the way of that. And if you falter, God will send a shark to bite your arm
Andrew,
off.
Andrew, I stand before you. I went on a mission trip to Mexico.
And look, two arms.
And look, Kevin's got them out proudly out.
And you know what they're about to? You know why your arms are out like that? Because you're ready to embrace a trans athlete.
With a hug. That's absolutely correct. Get in here, everybody. Old bear hug from KTP.
Oh, my God.
And then they talk to me and say, you're actually making this space unsafe for me. Like, you approaching someone in the water. Like,
how was your beach trip to Mexico? Was it cool?
I went twice. Here's what I remember. This movie actually triggered this memory. I don't think I have talked about before. Because I went in 2003, 2004. So I was like 13, 14 years old. And then I wanted to go again in 2005. But I hadn't been like participating in all the rehearsals or whatever. But I knew the youth pastor. And this guy was like, unfortunately, turned out to be quite unwell later on in his life. Mm. But I said, like, I still want to go. And he was like, you're not allowed to go because you didn't do all these rehearsals. And it felt a little punitive. It was just so funny to say to someone like,
you can't go serve the Lord.
Yeah, you can't go help people.
Because you wouldn't go to like puppet hands on Thursday night.
Literally. And even my mom at the time was like, that's stupid. Mm. That shouldn't be the case. And putting up any sort of barrier. Because it's that. But then it's also a sort of obstacle to connecting with other kids too and stuff. It just felt so weird. They're like, well, you didn't serve detention, so you cannot pass.
What did you do there? Did you help like build stuff? Or?
No, I mean, it was so limp what we did. Mm. It was probably less than what Bethany did. What are you thinking of?
Just the fact that you called it limp is so funny. What did you do?
Like a limp gesture. No, we did vacation Bible school VBS in the morning. So we would go, we went to
and you
two,
all learned Spanish, right?
A key. So we went to Tucson, Arizona. Mm, and
the best part of Mexico.
Which is a border town. And then we would stay there. And then in the day, cross the border to do stuff with the kids.
You didn't even stay in Mexico for the Mexico trip? Oh, my God. That's so funny.
Although, you know, I did when I went out there in 2002. The first time I came to L.A. 22 years ago, whenever it was. I remember. It was summer 2002. And we'd like spent the night there. And I remember my buddy at the time, he's like, whatever you do, don't drink the water. My grandma drank the water and she has to poop in a bag for the rest of her life. Because it's just like, we're like kid fear mongering stuff. Yeah. But we spent the night for that, but not for the 304 ones. We would just go and be like, see you later at 3 o'clock.
Well,
or whatever.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, have fun. So we weren't building shit. We were like feeding them.
Got it.
Playing with the kids. And I think it was like, unhoused kids or kids in poverty, but we weren't actually doing anything. Mm-hmm. We were doing as much as Bethany was doing in this movie. So she goes with World Vision, which to be clear is the humanitarian charity organization that maybe you saw this news story, Andrew. They changed their policy a few years ago. I'm forgetting what year. It was semi-recently in the last 10 years where they said, you know what? We're going to let LGBTQ people volunteer.
Okay.
And we're going to let people do that. And people said, fuck you.
Whoa.
I'm rescinding my donations. They're saying, okay, sorry. We're not
allowing
them.
By the way, donations, the way they worked usually, and this is like also I feel like a little ethically murky, was World Vision would come to your church. They'd hold up basically like headshots of little children and be like, this is little Idobo and he needs to go to school. Are you going to give $20 a month or are you going to let him never learn how to read? And people were like, fuck that kid. because you support gay people, I'm going to take his school money away.
Crazy.
Because the way it was supposed to feel like you directly funded like a child's education, basically.
It was 2014. It was the president of the company. He said, yeah, we're going to hire like people who've been same sex married and whatever. We don't care.
And just let them help people with us.
Just help.
Yeah.
And then everyone was like, no. And he's like, okay.
Yeah. And then they reversed it.
Crazy.
Which is just such a funny, like, to reverse on something like that. And
pretty
it is,
big.
It's like not even a metaphor for anything. Do you know what I mean? Like it's so bare.
Yes.
Talk about limp. No principles. Okay.
So Bethany goes and because of the tsunami, which she first sees on a TV playing at the surf competition, it's like enough of this surfing stuff. Here's what's going on in Thailand. And so she sees the tsunami came and then she goes over there with World Vision. So it's like a little World Vision spawn con in the movie. And they're afraid to get into the water because of the tsunami. And then she shows a kid how to get in the water. She ends up playing with them. And then she has this voiceover of...
They say the Lord works in mysterious ways. I say that's an understatement. Who would have thought that teaching a kid to surf would teach me that surfing isn't the most important thing in the world? And that something else is. Love. Bigger than any tidal wave. More powerful than any fear.
That's very
anyway, much. Good luck to that little orphan. Never saw him again.
Have fun surfing without a board. Still took it.
The like white savior surfer Barbie moment where she's just like, come on, guys. And, like brings this little kid who's like literally lost. They're like, oh yeah, we don't know where he came from. He has no family. Puts him on a surfboard. I was also like, wouldn't the community be like, why are you doing this to this child? Like, this is
be
scary.
Like screaming at her. She's
yes.
Like, wah, wah, wah.
And she's like, no, you guys are being cowards.
It's like those videos of dog surfing where it's like against their will.
Yeah. It's the same thing. Yeah. I would be like, maybe warm them up to it anyway. But it was like
so
this
funny.
Huge triumph, you know, for Bethany and surfing and God.
Which we usually talk about in the realm of fiction of like white savior tropes.
Right.
This is kind of an accurate rendering
she's
of what
it
was it. Like.
She was on set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, oh, yeah.
And what was the case for people we knew in our 20s that would like go to Haiti, who then now follow Candace Owens or whatever. But people who would like exploit that sort of thing or the purpose of that was for individual epiphany.
For yourself.
Rather,
for your
did you see the movie The Mission, the documentary?
No.
Oh, you guys should watch it.
A buddy of mine texted me a couple of days ago and said, you guys got to watch The Mission.
Ooh,
yeah, it's all about
is
that.
Is it about short-term mission trip kind of stuff?
It's specifically about one guy who you probably read about it famously, like tried to proselytize
that guy,
the most isolated community in the entire world.
Yeah,
which is like
and everyone was like,
an
they
island
will
off
kill
of,
you.
Yeah, an island off of Southeast India that's like has no connection to the outside world. And they did kill him. But the documentary is also more broadly about mission work in general and kind of what you're talking about of like mission work to raise myself up more so than mission work to help other people or whatever. And it kind of has a really extended interview with this guy whose entire life, like 40 years, was dedicated to like mission work in the Amazon. And then was just like one day had an epiphany, was just like, this is complete bullshit. And then
what am
like,
I doing?
It's really interesting. Yeah.
Oh,
it's
I'd
quite,
love
it's
to
quite
hear
a good
guy.
Documentary. Yeah. I think it's on Disney Plus maybe or something. Yeah. It's a Discovery.
Disney Plus.
Yeah. Cause well, what Andrew's not saying is the missionary was goofy. I wanted to save him.
I thought I was just fishing.
No, Disney Plus is also Discovery. Like it's also
right.
like nature
right.
stuff.
And like National Geographic.
National Geographic.
Too,
I think
right?
that's what it is. Yeah.
It's
in the National Geographic.
That makes sense.
But anyways, it might not be on Disney Plus, but I think it was. Anyways, it's really good. It's The Mission.
We should check that out. Cause I remember hearing that story when that happened.
It's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, I'm reading about this guy and was like, he's insane.
Don't say that. He's goofy. He's not insane.
Oh, that's true. I'm sorry.
He's just a little goofy.
He's just goofy. Yeah. He's not. It's not like a clinical thing.
Speaking of surfing, I've always thought about this. In surfing, skateboarding, and snowboarding, there are two ways that you stand.
Okay.
One is regular, and one is goofy.
That's true. Really? Yeah.
Pretty funny. Yeah. It's just,
wait. Is that like
that's
truly
standard? That's like wow. That is what it is. And it has been forever.
Well, I didn't know that was an option. And in that case, Garsh, get me out there. I'm ready. I'm ready to be your friend.
But it's just so funny that, like, you know, because everyone, you know, so much of contemporary diction is like, you know, trying to make everyone feel welcome or whatever. But in that specific world, it's goofy and regular.
It's either normal or normal idiot. Weirdo.
I think I ride goofy. Yeah. I remember a friend telling me that one time.
And do you know what you are?
That's what I heard.
Do you know if you're goofy or regular?
I'm guessing I'm goofy.
I'll find out afterwards. I can test you.
I haven't snowboarded, skateboarded. I haven't lived. Wow.
I can test. I can test.
Really?
Yeah, I just push you, and whichever foot you fall goes forward first.
That's the test.
That's the test. Yeah.
Wow. Wow, that's like just being in an Assembly of God church. Holy shit!
Lord, get the goofy out of this boy.
It didn't work.
Make him regular.
I've been possessed for 20 plus years.
Switch stances.
Wow,
that's awesome. Funny. And speaking of surfing, she does a surfing competition. One of the last shots, I thought a lot of the surfing actually looked okay, but then one of the last shots, it looked like a jib jab of like her face pasted onto another person's body.
It was goofy, speaking of, but like, I actually thought it was really cool that Bethany was just the body double surfing most of the time.
Yeah.
Because it was cool to see her surf. Yeah, it looked a lot better than them like CGIing someone's arm out.
Did they CGI her arm out in the entire movie?
Yeah,
it looked really weird.
They Lieutenant Dan'd her for sure.
It would like flicker and stuff. It was really strange, which is fine. Yeah. But I was like, yeah, Bethany should be doing the body double work. That makes sense. Mm. Let her surf.
Let her surf.
Let her surf.
But don't let her surf.
All she wants
don't
to do.
Let her surf.
Yeah.
No.
Surfing more than serving. Yeah. That's kind of the message of the movie.
I guess she did have a dark night when she was like, I'm giving up surfing. And she
for
handed
one
out all
hour.
her boards. Yeah.
And then she had to go to Thailand.
That's what's so great about helping the impoverished in Thailand is they remind you, you need to get that Rip Curl sponsorship and you need to get back out there on your board with your all white surfing community in Hawaii.
Well, because she comes back home after that and there's all that fan mail where people say, oh, you're an inspiration to me. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm forgetting until watching stuff afterwards. She's 13. She's 14 years old.
Yeah.
She's a little kid.
You don't send fan mail to 13-year-olds?
I don't constantly.
My hand hurts from writing fan mail to 13-year-olds around the world.
The only fan mail I ever sent when I was a young boy was to Jim Davis.
Oh.
Who created Garfield.
Yeah, that's nice.
And he sent back a handwritten note.
That's awesome.
Or at least it was
his
signature.
Don't contact me.
Yeah. He said, I'm blocking you.
Don't read my comic anymore.
It's not Garfield for you. Garfield would have hated you.
It's not for you.
Garfield would have hated you? The anti, she would have been a believer, Helen Keller. Or not Helen Keller, Anne Frank. Jesus. I don't think Helen Keller might have been a believer.
She was a believer.
Wow. But that's the only fan mail I sent when I was a kid. Wait, did you send fan mail?
I don't think so. I feel like it was kind of defunct by the time I like had a celebrity.
We're the same
I
age, basically.
To. Yeah, but not really.
Whoa.
Because I was born in the 80s and Caroline was born in the 90s.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not to dox your age, but.
True.
We're only separated by like 8 months.
But like spiritually, there's a difference there too. You know what I mean?
I'm hearing that y'all didn't have passion when you were
children. I wasn't
children.
A fan.
True. I wasn't a fan.
You were a little hater.
I was a hater. I sent hate mail.
Hate mail. Oh, yeah. Hate mail.
Constantly.
Sure.
Yeah. The Dilbert guy, the Garfield guy, the Get Fuzzy guy.
I
told Jim Davis Garfield would have hated you. Okay?
You made him and he doesn't even know you.
He wouldn't vibe with you at all.
Snoopy wouldn't fuck with you guys. To bring it back to Snoopy. Anything else we want to talk about from this?
I'm trying to see.
No, gorgeous movie.
It was fun. I watched it with a friend and we had fun.
Caroline.
Oh, you did? Oh, good. Okay. Yeah.
And for those listening, it is streaming on Netflix, which I didn't know before I paid $3.99 to rent it.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Like a Demos.
Whoops.
Yeah.
I was going to say one more thing about the place that she grew up in that seems to be kind of a MILF island.
My brother lives there. On MILF Island.
He lives on MILF Island?
He lives on MILF Island.
MILF Island because of Helen Servant Hunt and who else?
And Sorbo's wife.
Yeah.
I don't think she gets a name. But when all four of them were together, the combo of Dennis Quaid and Sorbo on the screen was such like dark-sided, scary vortex. I was like, get these two farther. This is not good. Like, they both think they're like the anyway. And then the two MILFs with them, I was like, this is cool.
MILFs. Yeah, it was set and filmed on Kauai, which is a really awesome island.
You've been there?
My brother lives there. I go there all the time.
Wow.
Yeah. Kauai love.
It's really nice. Yeah, I recognized a lot of filming locations.
Oh,
yeah?
I've never been to Hawaii.
Oh, you got to go. It's the best.
Now, I haven't watched this full interview, but thankfully he clipped it out. Just speaking of a dark energy, Caroline, but Dennis did do an hour-long sit-down with Tucker Carlson.
What?
Recently.
Oh, yeah.
And
to discuss this movie?
Yeah, he's like, you know, I did a movie 13. He's kind of a very Batman in the most recent years of his public life, but he played him a little song.
Play you a song that I think probably applies to you, Tucker.
All right.
I wrote this because of Christopher Christofferson. His wife said that nobody calls Chris because they think he's such a legend. He wouldn't take the call.
But does he want people to call?
Does it sound like he's eating something?
So now in my act, when I get up to playing this song, I call his wife, Lisa, and we all leave a message where the entire audience says, hello, Chris.
Sorry, I thought it would start playing.
It's good. So I wrote this song for that. Don't call me legend. A humble life's not through.
Okay.
Don't.
This is the face of a man who only knows victory in his life.
Things have panned out.
He's doing well.
Yeah.
He's on top.
He was so hot in The Parent Trap.
And by all accounts, Jack Quaid, nice boy.
Real nice.
Yeah. You know him?
Well, yeah, I know him decently well. He's been my podcast a few times.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, he's very funny, very nice guy.
Oh, more accounts of him being a nice boy.
You know Jack Quaid. You know Kauai, the island.
Jack's very nice, very funny, talented guy. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, does he want to come talk about his dad on Good Christian?
Yeah. I'll send him your way.
The idea, we've talked about this, but Dennis Quaid put out a full-ass gospel album.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he did. Covered it.
Recently?
Yes. It was last year at some point, and it's full of like just these very sad, like, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel songs of him singing to the Lord. One is literally called I'm on my way to heaven.
Whoa.
Fallen, a gospel for sinners, a gospel record for sinners. There's one called Why Me, Lord, which is my favorite.
Why Me, Lord?
Why Me, Lord? He does the talking, speaking thing.
When did he get so Southern?
Me, all right. What if I can't never do this? Done?
There's a certain point of success where you got to say, okay, you can't do anymore.
You can't do anymore.
You did enough. You can't transition into doing something else.
Start a new thing.
You can't start a new thing.
Laurels prepare to be rested on.
You had your moment.
Yeah.
Go be rich and do your thing.
Yeah. And then just do the convention. Be Christopher Lloyd being like, Marty, every 5 years for the rest of your life. And a Doritos
commercial. Oh my God,
commercial.
That over a Tucker Carlson interview every day, right?
Yeah. At least I have some dignity to be doing Doc Brown left. For Frito-Lay Company.
Show up in the Super Bowl every 5 years, exactly.
Yeah.
Caroline, by the way, the prediction, didn't we predict Scorsese was going to do another Super Bowl ad
on the
show?
Yeah, okay.
He did one with his daughter.
That's
they did
right.
A Squarespace.
That's right.
It's so weird watching the Super Bowl and being like, do these people need this money or what? Like, what's up?
They do.
It's so confusing that every single ad is just like the most famous people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, why are they doing this?
Yeah.
Beyonce strapped for cash because Renaissance didn't sell as well as Midnight's.
It's just like embarrassing.
J-Lo
so
strapped
weird.
For cash because she put $20 million of her own money into her film.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Production company thing?
No, her
own. Oh, her movie.
Yeah, her movie.
This
well,
is me now.
Oh,
yeah.
Experience.
It's a film.
Yikes.
Movie is sort of.
It's a reductive. Flight of imagination.
Right. Huh.
Yeah.
Damon did Dunkin' Donuts because he strapped for cash after doing the crypto ads because they paid him in crypto for those ads.
Damon John?
Matt Damon.
Oh, Matt Damon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
You remember those crypto ads with Matt Damon?
Yeah, these people.
He loved crypto. He loved
it. He got it.
Yeah. By the way, we're going to the Crypto.com arena next month to see Dennis Quaid do his album at the Crypto.
That'd be so funny.
It'd be amazing.
It's a 1% full
sold
arena.
Out.
Well, and they're sitting in the 400 section. They're like, Lord. He's like, come on down. And we're like, we're good. Okay.
No,
get closer to the stage.
I'm comfortable.
He brings out Tucker Carlson. All right. Time to rate this. The way it works, Andrew, we give a thumbs up, thumbs down, holy toast, holy roast, holy toast. We say thumbs up, we send it to heaven, and we say, yeah, 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 yeah. Holy roast is thumbs down, we send it to hell and say,
no, 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 no.
Or purgatory, which is
the space between.
We can send it to either. Caroline?
Man, this is tough.
It is?
I mean, well, okay. I do want to say I'm so glad Bethany is alive and that she overcame. It was tremendous. It's too bad she's lived long enough to become an anti-trans warrior.
That's what they always say.
They got to come back around.
Yeah.
But life is long, so perhaps there's another phase.
It is best to die right before you become anti-trans.
Isn't that great?
She may change her mind about that, and I sincerely hope so.
It's the Martin Luther King Jr. quote of history is long, but it bent towards evangelicals becoming fans of J.K. Rowling in a weird way.
Having a beef-only diet. But this movie, I got to say... I got so tired of watching surfing, you guys. Mm. I was bored. I don't know if you are. You're a surfer, so maybe it was more fun.
Do you have a surfing movie in mind that you prefer, like a Brink or a Point Break?
Brink is good.
Point Break's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
Blue Crush, perhaps.
Surfing movies.
Have you seen Point Break? It's really good. You should watch
it. No, I haven't. Okay.
It's not so much about the surfing.
Yeah. I like a little surfing.
Keanu
this was
Reeves.
Like,
it's classic.
Or back. I felt like, you know, we're at regionals like every other week. So I think I'm gonna give it a roast, actually.
Wow, she gave it a roast.
A roast for me.
Okay, we turn it to Andrew.
Look, I had a lot of fun watching this movie. It was interesting to see how they really shoehorned in the Christian stuff pretty hard and different moments that I thought was really nice. It was fun to watch the surfing. It was fun to recognize locations on Kauai that I've been to and have never seen a shark at.
Wow.
Personally. And I just had fun. I just enjoyed it.
Shark attack denier?
My friend really liked it. My friend that I watched it. No, there are sharks. Sharks are real. Sharks are real. Sharks are real.
Yeah, he's denying sharks.
I've never seen
on
a tiger
podcast.
Shark anywhere near that beach.
My friend who I watched it with, he watched Madam Web this weekend. Mm-hmm. And then he watched this with me. And afterwards he goes, I think I only want to watch bad movies now. He was like, this has been an awesome weekend
Something
for me.
About
Something
it.
Happens to your brain where it's like, I think this is better.
This is
better,
entertaining.
Yeah. The homework is taken out of it.
Yes.
So for me, it's a thumbs up. It's a toast.
Wow.
I enjoyed it.
A toast from Andrew.
I
Wait, did you toast
it?
Toast. I
no,
roasted.
She roasted it.
You roasted it? Man. I'm torn because I believe sharks have their place in the community and there's a little bit of anti-shark.
Yeah.
Propaganda.
Definitely.
This. And what's funny is even though she wouldn't be nice to other humans in life, Bethany Hamilton did say, sharks are good. We were in the shark's territory. Like she did speak about it.
She came out as pro shark.
I think she's neutral to shark.
Ultimate forgiveness. She goes and finds a shark.
What if Taylor Swift comes out as pro-Biden and pro-shark in the coming months? That might fuck up the system.
My dad will be twisted.
I was also bored, Carolina, with surfing scenes as well. So maybe it's not, you know, the same. I don't know the difference between normal and goofy. Well, I mean, the stances of normal and goofy.
Left foot forward or right foot forward,
Oh, okay.
That's it.
Well, why don't they just call it that, lefty or righty?
I don't know.
It's not as fun as goofy.
Not as fun as goofy and regular. But regular is left foot forward, which is kind of the opposite of what it is in handedness.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to have to talk about this later.
I'll push you.
Yeah. Push me, King. Andrew Michon, push me. As they say on the internet when they thirst tweet. Roast for me. I was
good.
Bored. I thought it was going to be more didactic than it was, too.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted a little more struggle.
I wanted
a little more... Like Ebert said, Dark Night of the Soul.
It was a rosy picture of getting your arm ripped off by a shark.
It's like,
it's not that bad.
It's not that bad.
It kind of makes me want to get my arm ripped off by a shark.
I just listened to a really interesting podcast about
about what? No.
A guy who like made friends with a young man who had his arm taken off by an accident or something, or his hand was taken off by some sort of accident. I don't know what it was. Mm-hmm. And he was like, became really good friends with this guy and was like helping him through his recovery or whatever. And then this guy who was helping him, he ended up having an accident and getting his hand ripped off as
no
well.
No way.
But then it turned out it wasn't an accident. And he did it on purpose because he was like, I don't know, it looks interesting and I want to try it.
What?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Oh my God.
It looks interesting and I want
to try it. Wanted to try it. And he like doesn't regret it.
How did he take his own hand off?
It's like a saw in like his in like his like workshop or something. Yeah, it was really crazy. Yeah, I think it was called Love and Radio is the podcast. And
there's
my
fucked
God.
Up.
I had never heard that
podcast
before, but it was really
that
cool.
That podcast, like, and it's very well produced, but yeah. There's stuff on there where it's like, I shouldn't be listening.
It's insane.
It's like actually disturbing.
Yeah, I just listened to that last
incredibly
week.
Well produced show from Radiotopia.
Something
I forget
like that,
the name
yeah.
of the gentleman who does it. But
yeah, it was wild.
There's some strange stuff.
Yeah, it's
on
just
it.
Like people sharing very personal things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so what's your verdict?
Oh, roast.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry, Beth.
We're saying.
No. Beth, reexamine. You know.
Bethany, come on.
We're all the same in the water.
Come on
to
the
a
podcast,
shark.
And we can. Yeah, you know what? You know what? Maybe she needs to see someone from that community get their arm bitten off by sharks. She'll
know.
Be like, you know what? They're just like
they're
me.
Just
and they
like
overcome
me.
Even
doing.
Better.
Yeah.
So some brave person wants to volunteer.
Yeah.
No, I think they have
rolling.
To overcome it the exact same amount.
A
otherwise,
same amount.
She might think
She's
it's
like,
unfair.
Well,
yeah.
She thinks they cheated.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, they're overcoming more than I did because our bodies are different. Wow, that'd be bad. Oh, no. Well, we pray for love and peace.
Yeah.
Wherever it may find her. Right now, Andrew, we're dimming the lights in here.
Wow.
We're lighting the candles to mask maybe certain smells that have been present today.
Oh.
And on other shows, you might promote yourself or plug your projects, but we're not here to do that. We're here to lift those things up to the Lord. We're here to lift up your social media handle. We're here to lift up what you're working on and where people can find you. And we're here to lift up something that you're enjoying, not in Christian culture, but in secular culture. The last great thing you watched, saw, read, listened to, etc. And Caroline will lead us by example. We'll start with her.
You can lift me up at Caroline's Farts, and I'm going to lift up an artist named Cleo Soul, who I've lifted up before. She's got an album called Gold. She talks about Jesus on it here and there. She's like a believer, but she's a little, I think she's a little open-minded.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, really lovely album, really great music. Check her out.
Cleo Soul, we turn it to Andrew.
My name is Andrew Michaan. That's M-I-C-H-A-A-N. I'm on Instagram. That's the one that matters. And my podcast is called Podcast But Outside. We interview strangers on the sidewalk. It's really fun and interesting. We've been on hiatus for a number of months, and we're coming back. I think today, the day that this comes out is the day that our new episode is going to come out.
Woo!
We had a psychic on, and she predicted the future of our show because we've been on hiatus for a little bit. So
what'd she say?
Some interesting stuff. She was pretty wild.
Accurate.
She was interesting.
Wait, what part of town was it?
We were in Glendale. She emailed us out of the blue, and we had her on purpose.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was fun. She was really, really nice. And then we had this guy was walking 8 or 12 dogs and a dog on his shoulders. A lot of weird stuff happened. So
Dang. We
interview strangers on the sidewalk. It's always fun and interesting. It's always really strange stories of people who are just living their lives. So check Podcast But Outside.
No one doing it like you guys.
On all the well, some people have definitely copied us. So some people are.
Is
doing
that true?
It just like many.
Oh no!
There are definitely some people doing it just like us.
but not
the same. No, it's like fine. It's fine. And something I've watched recently, I'm having, you know, I will say because I did not think it was good, and I ended up really enjoying it. That new Mr. and Mrs. Smith show.
Oh, I really liked it.
Was pretty good.
Yeah.
Great.
I didn't think it would be good, and I liked it.
I had a great time.
You didn't think a Amazon TV show based on an okay movie from 20 years ago would be amazing?
I didn't, and it was fun. It was fun. Well done. It was fun. You watched the whole thing?
Oh yeah, it was
good.
Gorgeous
show.
Too,
it was
right?
Gorgeous, shot well, directed well. Well, I think it was, you know, Donald Glover, I think, brought on a lot of people who made Atlanta, which is a good show. So I think it was a good. Yeah, it's on Amazon. Check it out. You know.
Yeah, we love Amazon. We're supporting what they do
Buy
over
stuff
there.
On there, too.
Buy stuff there.
Buy everything you can.
Buy everything you can.
And make sure it comes fucking fast.
Fast. Demand tomorrow. Demand it immediately, especially
tell
if it's
them
a
put
rainstorm.
Some hustle in it.
Ask for photos of, like, I want you to send me a picture of where you dropped the package off.
And it better be blurry. You were going so fast.
And I want a photo of the body of the person who died making it.
I want a photo of the water bottle you pissed in yes, order to yes. get it to my door.
Show me the ounces of piss that went into my ramen getting
Lord.
Delivered
yeah,
to my house.
My ramen that I needed tomorrow.
Daddy Bezos released the pee pics. We want them.
We need them.
You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. I'll lift up Uptown Girls.
Uptown Girls.
I saw Uptown Girls for
Aww.
The first time
Good.
Last night.
Cute, right?
Yeah. Oh,
Sheets
I love it.
Sheets of Egyptian cotton.
Yeah, I didn't know there was original music in it. This is Brittany Murphy and Dakota Fanning.
Oh.
Doing a little buddy comedy, essentially, that's mm-hmm. quite touching and beautifully shot. And Mark McGrath of Sugar Ray's in it for 20 yeah. seconds. And had a blast watching it.
Yay.
Wow.
Very emotional.
Beautiful.
It was beautiful. Yeah. That was euphoric. You can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. Patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun. And leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, please. Andrew, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having
me.
This was so fun.
Thank you. You're our soul surfer.
I had a blast.
Mark your calendar. 3 years from now, buddy. We're coming back.
I would love that.
Around.
I'd love for you to be really into surfing at that point. And that becomes your culture.
I'm going to crash into your car wherever you're driving in L.A. I'm going to say,
God damn it, it's Andrew.
And then we kiss anyway out of politeness.
There are two.
Might as well.
There are two inflection points that ruin surfing. The pandemic. And the day this episode dropped.
Oh no!
Yep.
Oh no, too many
People
surfers.
People got really into
People
it.
People got excited
People
and
got
inspired.
Excited. Yep.
Wow. And there's nothing left to say except for,
okay, I love you, Emma. Amen.
Amen.
Now watch this drive.
I almost forgot and I watched this drive.
Don't blame you.
And with that, let's go out with the theme song from this movie. This is a song called Hey Soul Surfer by Train.
Beautiful.
From 2010. A song that has a billion streams on Spotify.
Jeez.
And we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.